Are you looking for a roadmap for your life? Wanting to better handle the challenges that come along that roadmap? Well, David Hawthorne, the 3-Minute Astrologer, is going to be joining us this afternoon. We're going to be taking your calls today here on Tell Me Your Story. Good afternoon. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you so much for joining us. It is a beautiful day here, and we are looking for a beautiful day, week, month, and year for you as we take your phone calls here on Tell Me Your Story. The number is 564-1290.
Talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Understanding is part of the journey along this life as we have folks tell their story, and we begin this process of doing just that with David Hawthorne, who is going to give us just a brief little introduction of himself and what Vedic astrology is all about. It is different from Western astrology, and we'll have it's more than 6 degrees, I think. We've done a number of interviews together, David. It's great to have you on the program. I know that you're ever so slightly under the weather, but we thank you so much for sharing your time with us here.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for having me on again.
So how many degrees separation between Western and Vedic astrology are there?
23 degrees.
23 degrees of separation.
If you take your Western astrology chart and subtract 23 degrees, you arrive at your Vedic astrology chart. And Vedic astrology is from India. And it was originally done in Sanskrit. It's thousands of years old. It was used by the ancient kings of India. So it was known as Raj Vidya, kingly knowledge. All the kings and queens and royal persons of India always had an astrologer in their court. So this knowledge was for the royal persons. And this has been handed down over time. And we've had Chinese astrology, Egyptian astrology, and Western astrology. But we are using sidereal zodiac, not tropical zodiac. So, for example, the sun in one chart might be in Pisces, but if we subtract 23 degrees, it would be in Aquarius. So, for example, right now, Western astrologers know that sun has just gone into Aries, which is its exaltation sign. It's about 1 degree Aries in Western astrology, but in Vedic astrology, we subtract 23 degrees, and sun is actually still back in Pisces, about 8 degrees Pisces. But the good thing is that we don't just read the chart from the sun sign or even the moon sign. We actually read the chart from the ascendant or rising sign, and this changes every 2 hours of the day. So the purpose of Vedic astrology is to help people understand their life path. If we understand the horoscope, which is a reflection of how the planets are operating in our life, we want to understand how the planets are operating. We want to understand when they are operating. If you'll notice that life does not happen all at once, it happens sequentially over time, and we have that clock. We can see the past, the present, and future general trends. So we usually talk to clients about how the planets are operating. We talk about when they are operating. This explains why somebody can rise high or fall down. For example, Richard Nixon or O.J. Simpson, they might have some period of time that's very successful for them, and it can be followed by time that is not so successful, and vice versa. Somebody could be in prison, like Tim Allen was in prison for drugs, and later became a very successful comedian and television entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
So people can go up or down according to the hands on the clock. Now, I've noticed, having studied Vedic astrology for 20 years, I did receive my master's degree and professorship from India in Vedic astrology. And over the 20 years, I've done about 8,000 charts, and I've never seen a perfect chart. Everybody has some planet that is a little bit weak or afflicted or debilitated or badly placed. And if that's the case, then the person will have some weakness relative to that planet's signification. For example, Sun represents father, Moon represents mother, Jupiter represents husband, Venus represents wife. So let's say a person has an afflicted, debilitated, badly placed Sun, then we know immediately that the person did not get complete support from their father on every level. Either the father left, or he was abusive, or he had some of his own problems. So now, once we understand that, once we understand that the son is weak in the chart, then we can do some remedial measures. So the third important element of astrology are the planetary remedies for charts. In my opinion, and I didn't know about the remedies until 10 years ago, is that if we do the remedies for our charts, we can have much better life. We can absolutely fix our charts. Now, this gets into the big philosophical question, whether everything in a chart is predestined and will come to pass, or whether people have free will. And the answer is both. If a person is not aware of their chart, if they are in the dark about their how the planets are operating, then they meet with that destiny. They can have multiple health problems, multiple financial problems, multiple marital problems. They can have trouble with their health, their mental state, emotional state, financial state. But the moment we turn on this light of this knowledge, then darkness can leave. We don't have to be in the dark about our how the planets are operating. And we can start to change our destiny. We can start to fix our chart. In fact, the word for Vedic astrology in India is called Jyotisha, which means the divine science of light on time and karma. So once we shed the light of this knowledge, then things begin to change. For example, if a person has trouble with Venus in his chart, it means he's got trouble with his wife, then if he's not aware of that, he could have multiple marriages. But once he's aware of that, then he can say, okay, now it's important for me to strengthen my Venus in my chart so that I can have a better relationship with my wife. So we also discussed the planetary remedies for charts. So I'm hoping today we can do a few readings for some of your listeners, and we can talk about how the planets are operating, when they are operating, and the planetary remedies for their charts.
And the best way for us to do that is to take phone calls at 564-1290. That's 564-1290, or toll-free around the country. It is 866-564-1290. You can hear us on the Internet live streaming. You can go to richarddugan.com, click on the Listen Live link right at the top of the page, and you'll be able to listen to David Hawthorne as he provides readings to both yourself and others when you call 866-564-1290. Now, you've answered the question, David, as to how you got involved in Vedic astrology, but I'm not sure as to the why. Can you tell our listeners why? What was it about this art, if you will, or science, I'm not sure which one I should use to describe it, that intrigued you so much that you said, I'm going to devote the rest of my life to this?
Well, actually, it is an art and a science. It is an art of being able to understand the planets and their position in a chart, but it's based on the mathematical science. So it is an art and it is a science. Well, the reality for me is that many, many years ago, maybe 30, 35 years ago, a Western astrology woman did a reading for me, and I was impressed with what she had to say, and I found it very fascinating, and I did look into a couple of books like Linda Goodman's Sun Signs. But, you know, I never thought of being an astrologer. And then 20 years ago, I had a reading by a Vedic astrologer from India, and the reading was so accurate and so compelling that I had the thought that this must be some practical insight into my life, and I could use it to improve my life, and it would be good for me to have this knowledge for my wife and my children and my business. Just as a general, piece of knowledge, I was very much into, looking at the books for self-development. I studied meditation and yoga and working on diet and exercise, those types of things. So it was just basically a self-development technique type of thing of just having some knowledge on some information. Mm-hmm. But what happened is that, I've been studying for 20 years, and over time, I began to realize that this was not just some entertainment, that this was not just some little bit of information, but it's our genetic code, it's our DNA. It's a very, very refined, very deep level of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can understand ourselves, you know, all the great rishis said, know thyself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you understand yourself, and if you understand, you know, that this is actually karma,
right,
then you can deal with it. You'll deal with your life much better.
And we're going to do that with our first caller in just a moment. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and the number is 564-1290. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. I thank you so much for joining us. David Hawthorne, the Vedic astrologer, is also with us. And we also have Susan from Carpinteria on the line. And David, go right ahead.
Hi, Susan. This is David. So,
hi, David.
I need your date of birth.
6/15/47.
Okay, June 15th, 1947.
Yes, June 15th, 1947, yes.
I need your time of birth.
6:06.
I heard 6:06?
That's the morning.
A.M., okay. And I need the city where you were born.
Brooklyn, New York.
New York?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, good. Let me just grab this here real quick.
And as Dave is doing that, just a reminder, you can call us here at 866-564-1290 or 564-1290 here on the Central Coast. Again, you can hear us live on the Internet. Just go to richarddugan.com, click on the Listen Live link, and you'll be able to hear the program and the readings. And we'll be here every Saturday from 3
okay,
to 4
so
p.m.
Susan,
go ahead, David.
Okay, Susan, this is the reading for you for Vedic astrology from India. We're not using Western astrology. We're using Vedic
astrology. Yes.
And we're using June 15th, 1947, 6:06 a.m. in Brooklyn, New York. And main points here are that you are, in Vedic astrology, a Gemini rising sign, and your sun remains in Gemini in both Western and Vedic astrology, and your moon in Vedic astrology is in Aries. Now, I'm going to get right to the ways to strengthen your chart so that you have better results. And I do want to mention something to you. You are in the last year of an 18-year cycle. The 18 years is basically the northern node of the moon, which is called Rahu, R-A-H-U, and you're in the last year. It started, your last year began August 26, 2007, and you have a major change coming September 13th, 2008. Now, the good news is that the next 16 years of Jupiter, in my opinion, can be much better for you than this past 18 years of Rahu.
Mm.
Now, there are sub-periods within main periods. This final
how wonderful.
This final sub-period that you are in is is Mars. And Mars is in the house of gains and income and friendship, so that's favorable. This is, could be a good, productive year for you.
Susan, have you put us on speakerphone there?
It's also a year of change for you. There can be major change in your life because it's the last year of Rahu. Now, what's going to happen is that in September, you'll go into 16 years of Jupiter, which is quite favorable. Now, let me talk about how you can strengthen planets and your chart.
Okay.
If you wear a 1-carat to 2-carat ruby gemstone, it will help you with your health. Now, because you have Sun in the first house in Gemini and Mercury in Gemini in the first house, it says you have a position to have some status in life and that you have very good communication skills. Also says you're a very social person. You love people and you love conversation, and you have a big phone bill, for example. But you can wear a ruby gemstone for your health. You can also wear a diamond gemstone for your mind, for your investments, for romance, and also to help you with your, well, it's going to strengthen your Venus, and Venus rules the kidneys, the pancreas, the reproductive organs. So wearing a 1-carat diamond is good for you. Wearing a 1-carat to 2-carat ruby is very good for you. Now, the other gemstones are not as necessary for you. It's okay for you to wear almost any gemstone. You have a wonderful Mars in the house of gains. says you can gain income through property. You have a wonderful moon in the house of gains. You can gain from your family and your own wealth and status. You have Saturn in the second house. You have a very good ability to measure your speech, conservative speech. It's very good. I like a lot of what I see in this chart, but I do think that you're going to, I think this 18 years of Rahu has not been ideal. It's caused some trouble with investments, romance, even children or grandchildren, and it causes relocations, separations. Now, this coming Jupiter period coming up for you is going to be much better. And by the way, the transit of Jupiter this year is quite favorable for you for new partners or relationships or even marriage. So these are the main points. We just do a few minutes for each chart so that other people can call in as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Susan, yeah. How's that for you?
Well, that sounds wonderful. It sounds really good and very helpful.
Well, we thank you very much for calling. We hope you'll continue listening.
Yes, thank you, David.
Thank you, Susan.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. And that's how easy it is. Just give us a call here at 564-1290 or 866-564-1290 if you're listening on the Internet. And my wife, who is screening the calls today, will be taking your name and where you're calling from, and then we'll put you through to David, and he'll give you a 3 to 5 minute reading because we have a little extra time today. And we're talking here with David Hawthorne. He is a Vedic astrologer, and he has a website. It is astroview.com. That's astroview.com, and that's V-I-E-W, not V-U, but V-I-E-W. So that's astroview.com, and you can gather more information. You also have written a book. You have also produced a CD, and I'm not sure, or not CD, but a video, but I'm not sure if it's in DVD format yet, David, of your training people how to become their own Vedic astrologer. It's in your book. That's basically the premise of the book, as well as these videos. Is that in DVD yet?
No, it's not yet, but I am working on it.
Working on it.
The book is called Astrology for Life, and it's subtitled How to Be Your Own Vedic Astrologer.
Mm-hmm.
We train a lot of people, a lot of Western astrologers and chiropractors and healthcare practitioners, you know, counselors, psychologists, social workers.
Wonderful.
So we're teaching people how to read charts because we think it's important for people to know their Vedic astrology chart. And if you're a counselor, I think it's very good knowledge to have to share with your patients and clients.
Well, we're going to share that knowledge and information right now with Michael, and he is calling us from Santa Barbara. Michael, you're there with David, or you're here, actually, with David Hawthorne. Go ahead.
Hi, Michael. Could you give me your date of birth, please?
Go ahead.
Date of birth.
Hi, David. Do you want my birth date?
Yes.
January 15th, 1955.
January 15th, 1955. And the time of birth.
I think it was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon on East Coast time.
Okay, well, that's going to be a little bit of a problem, Michael. I do need, and I'm sorry we didn't talk about this earlier, but we do need a pretty close to accurate birth time for a reading because this can be, an hour is too big of a gap.
An hour is too big of a gap. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for calling, Michael, and if you can get that information, certainly please give us a call back, okay?
Will do. Thank
all
you.
Right. Bye. And obviously that is very important. I think sometimes space flight, and if they're a couple of degrees off the target and they're going to the moon, they're going to miss it. And it's sort of the same situation here. If we're what's the minimum and maximum range? I mean, you want precision when you're getting this birth date, birth time, and birth place. When it comes to the time, how accurate must they be if they don't have an exact time?
Well, see, it all has to do with karma.
Okay.
If we have a birth certificate and it has your time of birth, that's the most ideal.
Okay.
Now, in some cases, a person can be off 15 minutes, 30 minutes, even 60 minutes. That's okay, but often that's not the case. What happens is that there are 30 degrees per each rising sign, and it takes 4 minutes per 1 degree, so if somebody's born, you know, right on the cusp between two signs, then we can't really guess. You know, we really need to have that time of birth.
Right. And so, it would be the same difference if you were traveling from one part of the country to the other. You're starting in, let's say, Los Angeles, and you want to wind up in Washington, D.C. You can't just take an arbitrary, I'm just going to go east and expect to get to Washington, D.C. It just isn't going to happen. Yeah, you could follow the signs, but that's part of what this roadmap that you put together for us when we get together here on Tell Me Your Story is all about, in that you provide that roadmap with the, I like to call it the conditions along the way, whether there's rain or fog or sleet or snow or sunshine, hills and valleys, potholes or smooth sailing, and you then give us information on how we can better prepare for those conditions to make the journey more beneficial in terms of a learning experience, less stressful. It will always be, life is in and of itself as a challenge, but at least we can take advantage of those and turn them more into opportunities. I think that's really where we want to be coming from. And I'm very excited about this process that you've come up with. I've watched the videos and of course I have a copy of the book, have had for a number of years. You and I have been doing these kinds of programs for quite some time and educating people on this. And people really do enjoy finding out about this roadmap, and each roadmap is different for each individual person. What other types of charts can you generate? Individuals, yes. Could you create a chart, let's say, for my dog or cat, if I had a precise place, time, and date? And for an animal, would that really make much difference?
Well, there is a horoscope for every moment of the day. So whether a child is born, whether a dog or cat is born, whether a corporation is born, whether a marriage is born, whether we launch a space shuttle, yes, there's a horoscope for every moment of the day, and we can create charts. I've created charts for the launches of space shuttles, and the, for example, the Challenger had a disastrous horoscope, and it blew up. So there was a disastrous horoscope for the moment they swore George W. Bush into office for the first time. It was a disastrous chart. That was January 20th, and that was in the year 2001. And I wrote an article that day and posted it on the Internet that based on the inauguration of the presidency, the year 2001 for the United States would see financial collapse and national catastrophe. And we had both. So there's a horoscope for every moment of the day. Now, on a more positive note here, I do think it's important for us to understand our children. I use this. We have my wife and I have three children, and we use this. We know all three of our children. We know exactly why they're different from each other and how they operate. We know their intellectual and emotional capacity. We know how to help guide them with their careers, with their education, with their personality, and in relationships. And by the way, when my daughter, who is 20, is or actually any of my children, when they're considering marriage, then we can look at the chart for the suitor, because people are like book covers. We don't really know people by looking at the book cover. You have to read the book and get into it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I can show you a man's chart that is so afflicted for marriage. Venus representing wife in his chart was in the eighth house of death, and it was afflicted by several planets, and therefore his wife committed suicide.
Mm.
So I want my daughter to be able to look at a man's chart before she gets too serious and know whether or not he's going to have problems in marriage.
And we're going to talk more about it as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan with David Hawthorne. Stay with us. And we are back. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you for joining us. Joining us on the phones is David Hawthorne. He is a Vedic astrologer, and we are taking your calls at 564-1290. That's 564-1290. You can also call us toll-free at 866-564-1290. Write that number down. It'll be the number that you'll be using every Saturday at 3 p.m. right here on Tell Me Your Story. You can also listen to this program live on the Internet, streaming across the country and are literally around the world at richarddugan.com. Click on the Listen Live link and you will be able to hear the program live on the Internet. And we encourage you to give us a call. Again, the number is 564-1290 and 866-564-1290. 866-564-1290. Now, David, we had an interesting question put to us off the air, and that is, what if a person is born, but no time is put down on the birth certificate, and they really have no way of knowing what that time was? And that's like the triangular piece of information, place,
right,
date, and time. What do you do?
Right. Well, in some cases, I can be of help, and what we do is we can create a chart for the day and the place. Now, it's not going to be based on the rising sign, which is a very accurate way to read charts, but we can start to work with it. Now, often, you know, people will say, well, we don't know what time I was born, but my mother said I was born when the rooster was crowing, or, you know, it was just before sunrise or just before sunset, or my father said he got home in time for lunch, you know. So if we can get sort of a little bit of a clue, you know, somebody in the family remembers, and sometimes they're written in a baby book or a hospital record or a Bible or something. You know, I know in this country that the doctors are required by law to assign the time of death and the time of birth. So it has to be recorded someplace. Now,
okay,
in other countries like Mexico or something like that, it might be a little different. But still, somebody in the family should remember, you know, mom might say, oh, you were born at lunchtime. Well, then we can do something called rectification. We can start to rectify the chart until we find, you know, the proper rising sign. But otherwise, we can just do some general reading. And I apologize to Michael. He was so kind of him to call in earlier. And I didn't mean to cut him off that quickly, because we can take that 2 to 3 time and start to work with it. There is a 2-hour window. In other words, it's possible if he was born between 1:30 and 3:30, it would be the same ascendant, and then I could do the reading. But there's also a chance that it could be on the cusp, and that wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So but I didn't mean to be quite, that short there. So I apologize to Michael. He's a good man. I appreciate his interest in this knowledge.
So basically, your map could be, your roadmap, as I like to term it, could be off, and it could send you in, the information could be in a different direction than your life would actually be going. So rather than giving you misinformation, it's better not to put it out there in one sense, right?
Correct. And what I'll do is, if we're a little bit not clear on the time, then I'm going to ask a series of questions and validate the chart, because we can see things in a chart. You know,
mm-hmm.
I can see, you know, whether the person has siblings or not, you know, older siblings, younger siblings, number of children, marriages, all these things can be, we can talk about them and validate them. By the way, you're in the Santa Barbara area, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I just want to take a moment here and just say hello to some wonderful clients that are out there in Santa Barbara from some of the previous shows I've done with you, and some other clients of mine live in the Santa Barbara area, and I want to say hi to them. And I have some other personal friends out there, and I want to say hi. And I think it's just terrific what you're doing with your radio show, Richard, to bring knowledge to people and to share information with people so that people can really understand their lives a little better and have some tools. I love this thing that Oprah Winfrey's currently doing with Eckhart Tolle. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. But
I keep hearing about it, but unfortunately, I guess I'm just out of the loop. Go ahead and share
what's going
with us
on there. Is that a lot of media is moving toward more and more of giving people actual practical knowledge and information, and I think that's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
But she's doing a great series with Eckhart Tolle, who wrote The Power of Now, and his new book is called The New Earth. So it's good that radio talk show hosts, you know, TV hosts or an internet host are getting into sharing knowledge with the public. I think it's a great thing.
And if Oprah's listening, give us a call. We'll give you a reading. Now, if you are just tuning in for the first time, this program is called Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. A paradigm, it's a belief. It's a thought process. It's a way of thinking, if you will, and we are looking at new ways of thinking, of believing, of processing all of this information that's out there and creating a world, a new world, your world, a place where you really do want to live, not where you're living now per se, unless where you're living now is a wonderful place for you, and we encourage you to foster that. But there are a lot of us who are seeking for more than what we have today, and not necessarily more stuff. I think we could all agree that we all have more than enough stuff. I sometimes cringe at thinking about dragging 9,000 pounds of stuff across the desert from my hometown to Santa Barbara, and then we start getting rid of it as we go through the days and weeks. So we're talking about community in the context of a verb, in terms of all of us gathering together to help our individual dreams come true, but also our collective dreams, our society to be a more cohesive and interdependent society. I think that your information, David, helps that because it gives people the information on an individual basis to say, oh, well, so that's what's coming up. And what can I do to make that space there in 2009 spring more beneficial for me? Or
right.
How can I prevent those situations in spring 2009 from interfering with my movement forward? Tell us about
right.
the benefic and auspicious events, if you will, and the remedies that are associated.
Well, it's like, for example, it's a good point you bring out, like this Susan who called in earlier. You know, nobody's ever told her that she was running 18 years of Rahu, the northern node of the moon, which can cause an eclipse. And, you know, now, and then she's at the tail end of it, and that in a few months, she's going to go into 16 years of Jupiter, which is a much more favorable planet for her chart. It's well-placed, and it's going to be a better time for her. So the point here is that, you know, if it's raining outside, take an umbrella. If you're on a curvy road, you want to slow down. If you're on a straightaway, then you can go fast. So this is just some signposts. This just tells us where we are in terms of the hands on the clock. You know, where are we in a good place? Are we not in a good place? Are we in a place that we can expand, or are we in a place that we should contract? So we just want to take advantage of this knowledge. We don't have to be obsessive with it. I'm an astrologer, and I rarely look at my own chart. I do, though, when I do get, you know, have some kind of a feeling that I'm swimming against the stream or there's some obstruction. Then I go look at the chart and say, oh, yes, I understand what's going on now. And that just gives me a little peace of mind. But I do believe that the remedies can be, we say twofold remedies. You want to strengthen your good planets that are weak, and you want to do some charities for planets that are causing adverse effects. So general remedies for charts include helping your parents, helping the elderly, helping the poor and needy. And in marriage and relationships and family life, it is so important to have the following mantra, as it were. The mantra is, am I being considerate? So you want to be considerate in every thought, every word, every action, whether you were with your spouse or not with your spouse. So if we just all have these little remedies for the chart, I'm writing an article now on relationships and based on astrology. I think it's so important for people to understand a sun, for example, is father and moon is mother. Well, that means that sun is also a husband and moon is also wife. Now, let's take a look at this. The role of the sun is to be life giver. He nourishes the earth. He brings, without that sun, there is no crop. There's no life without mm-hmm. the sun. We need the sun. It
right.
gets rid of darkness. Now, when the sun is nourishing the moon, what happens? Well, the moon becomes very bright. The more the sun on the moon, the brighter the moon becomes. So a father should nourish his wife with his light. He brings light to her, and she brings brightness back. But notice what happens when the sun takes his light away from the moon. Moon becomes dark. So it's very important to understand that the role of the husband, the role of the father, is to bring light to his wife and his family. And when he does that, then he gets this brightness back, which is very good. But if he takes away his light, then she becomes dark, and then he wonders why she's dark. So we just have to have this awareness. And then if we do these little remedies for charts, if we have consideration for our spouse and our children, and if we have help the elderly, we help the poor and the needy, These are good remedies.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, I want you to stay with us. We have another 15 minutes or so to go here on Tell Me Your Story. Give us a call, 564-1290, 564-1290. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. And welcome back. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you very much for joining us. David Hawthorne, the Vedic astrologer, is on the line taking your calls at 564-1290. That's 564-1290 or 866-564-1290 outside the Central Coast area across the country. And you can hear us live on the internet. Go to richarddugan.com and you can listen live on the internet as well to this broadcast. When it's over, I will upload it to my website, and you will be able to listen to the rebroadcast, so to speak, on my website. Just click on the link that is associated and then right next to David's information there on today's the 22nd of March, and this is actually the second day of spring. So you can go to the website and you can listen again to this interview or any of the interviews that we've done up to this point. So that's Richard Dugan. That's RichardDugan.com. And you can also go to astroview.com for David Hawthorne's information, his book, his videos, all of the different pieces of information that will help you to, again, be aware of and help to benefit from even those conditions that are along the roadmap in your life. Again, the number, 564-1290. Now, David, when you were talking just a few moments ago about this whole issue of being courteous, the thought jumped into my mind as I was seeing myself hurtling down the 101 here along the Central Coast. I can't be courteous, David. That guy just cut me off.
Well, there's a couple of ways to look at that. But again, the mantra is, am I being considerate? So we just want to be considerate. Imagine if everybody was being considerate, what a great place this would be. But the reality is this. The reality is that if there's some obstruction in our life, some setback, some delay, some disappointment, even some negativity that comes up, it is connected with our karmas. Now, I know it's a little bit esoteric, but one of the great ancient rishis of India went on to say that the planets bestow on living beings effects due to their past life karmas. Now, this is a little bit of a heavy pill to swallow, but the reality is this. At the moment of your birth, the planets reflect your karmas. This explains why somebody can be born and have some suffering, even immediately have some suffering, some health problem, some physical problem, something, loss of parents. So it's in the chart. So what I'm getting at is that we have karma. Karma comes to us. Now, there's varying shades of karma, and I'm a big believer that if we're not aware of our charts, then we can have major accident or major karma or major problems. Once we start to work with our charts, once we start to have consciousness, once we start to be aware, and not just even our charts, the whole thing is that we want to have consciousness and start to have some self-development. To me, there's only two types of people in the world. People who are developing themselves and they want to contribute to society. So therefore, they bring happiness to others. They bring happiness to others. And the other type of person brings unhappiness to others. So we can just choose which camp we want to be in. Do we want to bring happiness to others, or do we want to bring unhappiness to others? Now, I think if we bring happiness to others, I think that's good karma, and I think in our future lifetimes, we're going to have smoother go of it. But if we bring negativity to other people, then I think that's what we're going to sow.
Mm-hmm.
We reap what we sow.
Mm-hmm.
So if another person is wrong, two wrongs I still think don't make a right. So if another person is wrong, then we just have to be the parent. We just have to take responsibility. We just have to be mature. So that's the point, is that if somebody else is being negative, then we just treat them as a child. We just, as you know, as any parent, we just say, okay, this is not right, but I still love you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have to do that in society too. We just if we help each other, then I think we can have progress. Otherwise, look what the end result is going to be. If everybody keeps headed down a negative path, it's just going to be exponential negativity. And I don't think that's a healthy thing at all.
And all you have to do is look around you and you say to yourself, well, I don't want to do this because this is too hard, and but yet I want a better world. Well, if you look around you at the way things are now, is this what you want? And what's it going to hurt if you try it? You know, get your pride in check and be considerate of one another for 10 minutes.
Well, one of the good practices is, you know, Zen Buddhism, you know, the Eckhart Tolle work where you stay in the present moment. Mm-hmm. You know, all emotional disturbances in life are connected with either the past or the future. Mm-hmm. In other words, a person has some worry or fear over the future, or they have some remorse or guilt over the past. That just means they're not living in the present moment. For example, yes, a person cut you off, but that was in the past. See? So if you live in the past and you worry about what he did in the past, then you got a problem. But if you can stay in the present moment, then you're fine. Mm-hmm. He cut you off, but he missed you. No. It's
That's
a good
right.
thing.
Yeah. And now he's ahead of you. He's not coming up from behind. And whatever he chooses to do with his karma and his roadmap and his
right.
conditions...
Right.
It's now ahead of you. You don't have to concern yourself. And you're prepared. You say, okay, this guy's going crazy. And I have to say that there are fortunately rare situations where that has happened. And we're driving down the road and suddenly we see this car off to the side, off the shoulder. Sometimes we've seen it on its roof. The guy was coming around the curve too fast. And
right.
this is what he drew to himself. I could have drawn that to myself, too, if I had stayed in that lack of courtesy, if you will.
Right.
That negativity, that, oh, that you dirty rat, you. Why, I oughta. Well, I'll tell you what. This, to me, is something very valuable, and you can tap into the value of this by going to astroview.com. That's astroview.com. That's V-I-E-W.com. You can also give us a call right now. We still have a few moments at 564-1290. That's 564-1290 or 866 564-1290, and we are going to come back with more as we wrap things up here on this Saturday afternoon edition of Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan with David Hawthorne. The Vedic astrologer joins us as we come back here in just a moment. Stay with us. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for joining us here on the program. Vedic astrologer David Hawthorne is my guest as we are coming close to the end of, I can't believe it's another hour is almost wrapped up, David. They always go by so quickly, and it is a great pleasure to have you on the program every time. We have such great fun and inform people. That's what this program is about, to provide you with information, to provide you with choices that you can use or not use. It's entirely up to you. We just put the stuff on the table. You can eat from it or pass it by. And I love the analogy I came up with of chocolate cake. There's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly fine. And today you might want some, but tomorrow you may not. But the cake is still fine and it's still there for you. So partake if you wish or not. David, before we let you go, again, people can contact you through your website of astroview.com. Any final remarks you'd like to give us in about 30, 45 seconds?
Well, I just want to thank you very much for having me on. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and Amrita and to talk to your listeners. And maybe we'll get back some other time and do some readings for some people. But I think Vedic astrology from India is a very divine gift. I think it's a good knowledge, good insight into how the planets are operating in our life. And I think it can be quite helpful to people and to families and relationships and children and education and you know, also for businesses. We can elect a time to start a new business, elect a time to get married, elect a time to acquire property. And most headlines, by the way, I do see in terms of the planets. So, for example, Mars has been in Gemini since September, and that Gemini has to do with business, and Mars has to do with property. So there's been a lot of focus on business and property. And Rahu began to afflict Mars for about a month, and things got really bad in the housing marketplace. But we can always follow these planets. You know, I think my little expression is, you know your stars, change your life.
I like that. Know your stars, change your life. And you've changed ours in many, many ways. And again, I thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Richard.
And you take care of yourself, and you get well, all right?
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's David Hawthorne. He is the Vedic astrologer here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you very much for joining us on the program. We encourage you to join us again next week at the same time. We're going to have Jack Reed on talking about the next evolution here on Tell Me Your Story. I hope that you will join us. Join us every Saturday, 3 p.m. for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I thank my wife for screening calls today. Love to Lal. Have a great weekend, and happy Easter to you all.